Tomorrow is Juneteenth, and awareness of the holiday has reached an all-time high following weeks of protests for racial justice in the United States. Juneteenth commemorates the day when enslaved people in Texas learned about their emancipation, June 19, 1865. That's a full 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Black Americans have long celebrated Juneteenth, and though Texas recognized it as a state holiday in 1980, followed by dozens of other states, it has yet to become a national holiday. And for years, Opal Lee has been working to get Juneteenth recognized as a national holiday. The 93-year-old is a social impact leader in Fort Worth, Texas, and she joins me now. Opal, thank you for being with us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
What does Juneteenth mean to you, Opal?
It means so much, and I hope I can express it. It means freedom. And I don't know if you can understand a people who were subjugated so long that when they found out they were free, they began celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since.
Opal, the significance of Juneteenth is deeply personal for you.
Yes.
Tell me what happened to your family's home when you were 12 years old.
We moved to Fort Worth from Marshall, Texas in 1937. My parents worked hard and were able to pay down on a house at the corner of Annie and New York Street, Fort Worth, called the South Side. My mom had it fixed up so neat. But people begin to gather, throw rocks. And on the 19th day of June, the newspaper says 500 of them gathered. And, well, my dad wasn't there. He was at work. When he came, he had a gun. And the police told him if he burst the cap, they'd let that mob have. Well, they sent us, the three of us, me and my two brothers, to neighbors on Terrell Avenue. And they stayed. But eventually, they had to leave because the mob burned the place, drug out the furniture, and they had to leave. My parents never told us about it, never talked to us about it. And they struggled some more, and we bought another house on Terrell Avenue. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't have any, what is the word, epiphany? I simply knew as I grew up that there were things that needed to be done.
Opal, you, in talking about the work that you've done across the course of your lifetime, among the many things that you've done, you've also led a campaign to get Juneteenth recognized as a national holiday. Tell me about what made you want to pursue that.
My family has always celebrated Juneteenth. And when I learned that General Gordon Granger and black troops landed in Galveston and told people, in fact, he read what was called General Order Number 3 to the people, saying that slaves were free. He nailed that to the door, that order, he nailed it to the door of Reedy Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And when the slaves came in from work and somebody read that to them, they began celebrating. And so we've been celebrating it ever since. Now, celebrations are just not a festival for us. We have already, in Fort Worth, had our flag raising. We've already had our breakfast of prayer. That's not to be confused with a prayer breakfast. And we are about to have our caravan. Because of the virus, we can't have a parade, and we love a parade. We are going to leave downtown to Lancaster and all the way out to Will Rogers Auditorium. and that's a 2.5 mile walk. And I'll be walking it, and the cars will be behind me to symbolize that slaves didn't know we were free for 2.5 years. The components with Juneteenth, the educational components, the art, the music, the empowering you, all these things are a part of Juneteenth. Because when slaves got free, when they were free, they had 12 freedoms that they had gained. They gained the ability to name themselves, to have their children not taken away from them, to buy land, to educate themselves. There were so many more things that they gained. And still, this day and time, we've not gained those freedoms. And I keep thinking, we've made strides. And we say over and over, there's so much more that needs to be done. I see Juneteenth as a unifier. I even advocate that we do Juneteenth from the 19th to the 4th of July. You know, slaves weren't free on the 4th of July. And we'd have so more, we'd have so many more opportunities to make people aware.
There are a couple of observations I'd love to hear from you. When you see what's happening with the racial justice uprising right now, with people protesting now 3 weeks straight in the United States across the country, what are your observations of that? How does that make you feel?
That I wish I was young enough to get protest. I'd be afraid I'd give those kids something as old as I am. So I stay home. But I can understand enough is enough. And the only way we know how to get attention is to protest. I don't condone the looting and the killing and that sort of thing. But we've got to sit down with people and discuss what's happening and alleviate the situation. Our educational system needs, oh, so much work. The job disparities, the homelessness, the health. There's so much that could be done if we would just work together. And the fact that the color of my skin is the reason you don't work with me is so, it's just plain ignorance.
Opal, is that ignorance something that's a product of our education system here in the United States? Because your family has celebrated Juneteenth. You have led a national movement to bring awareness, but also make Juneteenth a federal holiday. And yet people are just learning about Juneteenth. What does that say to you when you look at the education that that folks in this country have or don't have when it comes to the legacy of slavery and the history of slavery of Black people in this country?
It's not taught in the schools. What they do have is a shame. Pictures of people picking cotton and folks having the impression that they like doing this. I pick cotton, and I know it's not something that you'd be proud you're doing. My thing is, our education system needs to be better. But we can't bring the education system all together because people learn this at home. They learn to dislike. They learn to hate. They don't get it all from the school system.
Opal, what would you like to see the Juneteenth holiday evolve into here in the United States? How do you think this holiday should be celebrated?
I enjoy the celebrations that we have. I'm just wanting more people to know why we celebrate and to join us. The protests, listen, those are not all Black people out there protesting. These are people of all nationalities. And why can't we get our system regulated to address the atrocities that are happening to all people. To us, it's more visible. But to Mexican Americans and Asian Americans and all kind of people who are suffering, I'm so unhappy about what's happening to the immigrants and the children taken from their parents. I don't know what I would do if somebody took my children from me. Thank God they're in their 70s. So we are wanting people to understand that Juneteenth is a unifier. Let's get together and address these atrocities. Let's get together and tweak our educational system. Let's get together and find decent jobs so people can have a decent home. Let's eradicate homelessness. I think I'm preaching.
Nothing wrong with preaching, Opal. We appreciate it. Opal Lee is a social impact leader based in Fort Worth, Texas, who's been working to get Juneteenth recognized as a national holiday for years. Opal, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and to sharing your years of experience and wisdom with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
We'll meet again. Don't know.
And that's it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. We have to give a quick shout out to the Takeaway team that works to make this show as good as it is every week. Our board operator, Debbie Daughtry, was in the studio at WNYC for us, alongside director and sound designer, Jake Howitt. Alexandra Botee is our senior producer. Our producers are Jackie Martin, Ethan Oberman, Jose Olivares, Meg Dalton, Jason Tureski, Lydia McMullen-Laird, and Dina Syed Ahmed. Polly Arungu is our digital editor, Katarina Barton is our intern, and David Gable is our administrative assistant. Lee Hill is our executive producer. Our love and thoughts to the family of singer Vera Lynn, who was a star of the World War II era and passed away this week at age 103. It's a good track to leave you with. Thanks so much for listening. Amy Walter's in tomorrow. I'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.